Hello everyone, OmniLabs is a Silicon Valley-based robotics company that was founded in 2015 by three robotics experts. It is a leading company in the field of telepresence robots. We have two guests from OmniLabs, Ujwala and Anirudh, who have joined us in this episode. So, without any further ado, let's get into the insights of the interview.
What do you like about telepresence robots in general, and why is that so?
Wow, that's a really good question. I want to say, like, you know, telepresence technology is something that has been around probably, I want to say close to a decade now. The biggest benefit of using a telepresence robot is, having a presence when you're not like in the same location, right? And there are so many different use cases, I think, in education with like homebound instruction as an example, right? Like we've heard so many stories where, when a kid is being hospitalized and you're, 10 or 12 years old, your education, your classmates, your teacher, that's your life, you know? Mm-hmm. So having a substitute teacher come and teach you is not quite the same experience. And we've heard such heartwarming stories where you know, like kids would like literally like, like straighten their back and like be very alert. And they feel like it really helps with like recovery. And then it also helps when they're trying to reintegrate themselves into the classroom. I mean, similarly within healthcare, so many different use cases. So, I mean, the obvious one is extensibility and like, you know, of your physical presence in another location. And then being mobile, you know, like you and I are having a conversation right now, and we have the static view, which is great because we're having a one-on-one conversation. But now, you know, if you were in a university and you were telling me all these amazing things about your university, there is an opportunity for me to move around and experience that.
Yeah.
So I think that virtual immersion into another space, and like, you know, like having a physical presence somewhere else is probably the biggest generalized benefit. Now, coming to Omni robots, I would say our strength has always been modularity. Mm-hmm. The fact that we were successful in working across so many different industries and like really identifying people's pain points and needs and like working on it in a way that we did is because, you know, we have a mechatronics team, we have a software team, we 3D print all of these robots, you know, we can be modular, whether it's on the hardware or the software side.
In that aspect, what do you think are strong features of telepresence robots, especially in the use in educational purposes?
I think I can get into like the specific features at first, but I want to say like, you know, state the basics, a really strong Wi-Fi connection. Mm-hmm. Right, because a lot of universities and schools have very old buildings, so you know, like good network connection, because we've heard so many stories where someone's like, you know, dialing on a Zoom call and like, you know, the network failed. So that probably is one. And then how well is the robot able to continue a call even if the network is poor? So I think that's a very basic feature that a lot of people oversee, but I would say that's a big one. I think one of our strengths has always been the quality of video, because again, you know, you can't really immerse yourself in an environment if it's blurry and you don't really experience it quite in the way you want to. Outside of that, I want to say, just because of the uniqueness of like being in another location and so many different use cases, the fact having a 360 degree field of view, right? Mm-hmm. Like being able to like move around and keep it like if I'm in a large classroom and I'm listening to a lecture, but I'm also kind of connecting with my peers on a workshop, the ability for the telepresence robot to look up at the instructor or, you know, like lean a little bit towards someone who's sitting down and interact with them. So I would say adjusting the field of view on demand is a pretty important one. And then there are some, pretty key features, which is being able to zoom in any environment, being able to read notes off a whiteboard or, you know, someone's laptop if you're collaborating. And then adjusting the speed of the robot. I mean, there are just so many, but the basic ones I would say is the video quality and network connectivity.
Did some clients mention benefits of telepresence robots to you, or especially in education, of course? Did you hear anything about that?
With education, like about 3 years back, we really, really got our start in education with a few key organizations around the world. So there is a nonprofit called Missing School in Australia, which basically provides homebound instruction and like does research on different methods and equipments that can be used for kids that are away because they're recovering to be able to interact with their environment and not really have like a substitute teacher come and provide them with instruction, because, you know, it really, I mean, you can't really learn critical thinking or, you know, teamwork or collaboration if you're just receiving passive instruction. So they were one, Teammates for Kids, which is based in the US here, and they are it's a Garth Brooks foundation, which basically, again, kind of provides experience for hospital-bound kids to be able to experience prom and, like, you know, a ball game and, like, social life. We work with a private school in Texas that sends their kids on a field trip to NASA every year, right? So there are, you know, when people think of telepresence in education, it's always like remote learning or distance learning. And that broadly kind of covers the use case. But I would say homebound instruction, having a guest lecturer dial into the robot and provide instruction, I think is another one. And like keeping it immersive, being able to take a field trip if you can't. So those are, I would say, some of the use cases that we've experienced. And as far as the benefit goes, I mean, you know, again, it really varies. But within education, I think people really like the fact that they can zoom in and take a better look at, you know, like the notes, so that the student doesn't have to like take those notes. In many cases, it's also, I mean, you know, again, the option to like really look around your environment and like, you know, if you want to take a look, if you're a guest lecturer and like somebody towards the end of the classroom is asking a question, being able to get a better view of them or walking over to them. I think those are some of the benefits.
Perfect. Thank you very much. What opportunities and benefits are you aiming for in telepresence robots in education?
You know, if the pandemic highlighted anything, it's the fact that things are going to move online. There's going to be more of like a hybrid environment. I would say as far as opportunities go, this whole idea of like a cyber classroom or like a hybrid classroom is definitely one that we're excited about. I think it's something that we see globally, you know, whether it's India or Singapore or Europe, and definitely here in the US and Australia, you know. So I think that the shift is towards, let's try to make the experience as similar as possible for somebody who is in person and someone who's remote. So I think that's definitely an opportunity that we're very excited about.
What teaching or learning activities are enabled and supported by your telepresence robot?
Yeah, so we have a few universities on islands that use our robots for the admin teams. So admin basically being able to dial into the robot and like managing things. There are regulatory bodies that need to come to universities and see what's happening and like, you know, provide a feedback on curriculum, as an example. Those folks can dial into the robot. Students with disabilities, I think this is a pretty big use case. And we actually partnered with a company in Italy that enables like students to basically be able to like control the robot through their brain movement. So those are the type of developments that we are very excited about, because, you know, kind of going back to your question around opportunities, we really, really want to reduce the gap for anybody, for whatever reason. You know, if you're disadvantaged because you don't have enough money to come stay on campus, or you know, you have some physical limitations, or you know, you're recovering in a hospital, being able to like use the robot in any circumstance, I think is something that we are excited about. And of course, social interaction, you know, like
we're
social beings. I mean, one of our largest clients, the use case that they wanted us to develop custom robots for was actually virtual tourism. So again, you know, like that kind of translates into, like I said before, you know, watching a ball game or even like traveling somewhere to the world.
And do you think in education, will the telepresence robot affect new didactic methods or the way the pupils will study or something like that, or work itself if it's used in the work context?
Yeah, absolutely. Education in general, I feel like has revamped completely, right? Like there's so much focus on certification. There are so many courses on continued education. And, you know, you don't really want to limit people that are just coming here for like a bachelor's or a master's degree. But then, you know, can we actually give other students a flavor of what it is like to be on campus, you know, anywhere in the world and experience? I would love to like go to a university in Tokyo and experience what it's like to receive instruction on business, right? Like, so if we are able to bridge the gap between like, you know, the language barriers, or in the future, if, you know, we can, as we are having a conversation, translate it into English or whatever language the students around the world would like to receive their education in. So yeah, I think it's the opportunities are definitely there with education on a global level.
And did you get any feedback to from, I don't know, from the universities or from the schools, if the persons wanted to be represented by a telepresence robot? Did you say anything like that? Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I'll give you an anecdote here. So one of the schools we work with, basically, we have a kid who has, you know, an autoimmune disorder. So they're actually, unfortunately, never going to be in a situation where they can go to a classroom. So, you know, remote instruction is really the way forward for them. And for a long time, the student was working on an iPad, and then, you know, eventually kind of graduated to using a telepresence robot. Now, every time, you know, the connection would drop, the student would start crying. I mean, you know, of course, this was a kid who was younger.
Yeah.
But, you know, like that's one that kind of comes to mind. But then on the other side, I think with universities, adult students who, you know, who have a full time job and then they're receiving their instruction, they actually really appreciate the fact that, you know, a lot of the things that you're supposed to be learning in university is not just, you know, I've said this a few times, receive that passive instruction, but improve your, you know, ability to like learn real world skills, like being able to collaborate, work in a group environment.
Yeah.
And that is the part that, you know, when you kind of get to those, like, you know, capstone courses, the workshops or whatever, doing this over a Zoom call is fine. But like, you know, if you have some of the team, like some of your classmates in a classroom, and then some other are remote, it can be a challenge. So we've heard really good feedback from students that are adult learners, that they feel that, you know, it was immersive enough, and they felt. And then the other amazing thing is, you know, in the beginning, when we were out there deploying these robots, there was a lot of concern around, okay, you know, how are the students in the classroom going to behave? You know?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have sometimes in some cases, you know, like kids are going through a lot of physical changes, right? Like, so there's this, that kind of level of like anxiety that school administration feels that, okay, now we have a kid who's in hospital, who's already experiencing physical and like, you know, like physical pain. And, you know, I'm sure it's like an emotional experience for them as well. Mm-hmm. And now having them dial into this robot and interact with the classroom, how's that going to look to them? But the interesting thing was, again, I think there are so many ways of anthropomorphizing these bots by, you know, we sell hangers along with the robot. So you can actually add a jersey. And then all of a sudden, I think we use the word human-centric a lot for telepresence. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you have a t-shirt, or, you know, you have a jersey. And a lot of kids, you know, even like 7, 8 year old, would respect, they would not think of it as a robot. For mm-hmm. them, it was like their classmate, their friend was dialing into the robot because, you know, they could not be there in person. Mm-hmm. And it literally was the same level of respect that they would offer,
wow.
you know,
a person.
So I think those are some amazing stories, I think, in education, especially for homebound instruction that we've heard. Where, you know, there are ways to like make it really cute and, you know, and during Christmas, like put a Santa hat on the bot. So there is a lot of like, I would say, you know, just excitement for the fact that somebody who is remotely is dialing in and attending the class.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's the reason I'm so interested in this topic. So let's talk about weaknesses. So what weaknesses do you see in your current TR model or in general in telepresence robot at the moment?
Yeah. So we actually have always, especially now, if we talk about like, you know, the social side of telepresence and homebound instruction for a moment, the fact that you can teleoperate the robot is actually really exciting to a lot of folks. You know, we, of course, have been working on building an autonomous, fully autonomous telepresence robot, which means that in the future, you can just map the space similar to your Roomba, right? Like once it knows what its path is, it's out there vacuuming that same space every single day.
Yeah.
So you can do the same thing with the robot as well. And like, you know, it knows, you know, if you have to go into a specific classroom or a conference room or the library, the robot already knows its path. But there are some merits to teleoperating the robot. So as far as weaknesses go, a fully autonomous robot has some restrictions. So some of the things are, and I'm maybe getting a little too technical here, with like the LiDAR or sensors, is the placement of the sensor. So I would say some of the weaknesses currently, which are being actively solved by us, is building a fully autonomous robot. At the same time, I mean, we can definitely do it. We could have done it yesterday. We could have done it 3 years ago. But the challenge is with education, you have to make it a cost-effective robot. So how do you make a telepresence robot fully autonomous and then take into consideration, let's say, a glass wall and like those other things? So those are some technical challenges. And then I would say some other things, the basic ones that I covered in like a school environment, network connectivity. I think something, again, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. with our new generation of robot, yeah. we feel like we've solved that problem for sure. And then one that everybody asks is, can it open doors? Not yet, but, you know, can it go up and down elevators? So there are still some limitations. So let's say, you know, in a typical scenario in a campus, if somebody has a classroom on the second floor of one building, and then the next class is actually across, you know, the campus on the third floor, the robot can't actually go down the stairs. So while it is an immersive experience, it is an immersive experience in part. So I would say those are some of the limitations of a telepresence robot, which can be solved. I mean, you can have multiple robots, which is what we recommend at this point.
Yes.
But hopefully, you know, in the near future, the bots can at least go down elevators and like, you know, walk over the campus, especially with 5G. I think that's very, very possible. And we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think the idea of telepresence robot itself can be an obstacle in an educational system, like not the technical difficulties, but just having a robot instead of a person? Do you think that could be difficult?
When, like I said, when we started off with having like students attend classes through the robot, we were very concerned about how like a group of mm-hmm. 7 or 8 year olds are going to respond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that it really, I mean, there has to be some internal conversation. There has to be a cultural change that needs to be brought about, especially if you have an instructor coming into a classroom and providing instruction through a robot every single day. But I want to say from a lot of like kids today, they grew up on Zoom classrooms, you know, they have that experience, you know, mm-hmm. I kind of feel connected to you because I've already had like a 30-minute conversation. I feel like you know, we know each other. So I feel like those barriers of technology have been removed automatically. So I feel like the younger, you know, like folks who are going to school anyway, I don't think they quite view it the same way that, you know, people in the past did, where they are confused about whether it's a robot or a person, or, you know, it's not really the same or whatever. It's the same level of excitement. I mean, you know, we run, like I mentioned this before, we have a very distributed team, and Ani actually goes into the office and, you know, I dial into a robot, and I never feel like I don't know Ani, you know, because we talk to each other so much.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ani, did you have anything else to add here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, from a blocker standpoint, I honestly, you know, just think it might be, you know, classroom setup and Wi-Fi and things like that. However, I feel, you know, using a telepresence robot really brings something to the call that a Zoom call doesn't bring. Like, even from a participation perspective, it just makes both, you know, the receiver and the user more attentive, you know, so you're actually, you know, spending more time enjoying what you're doing rather than, you know, I doze off sometimes in a Zoom call when, you know, it's long and there's a bunch of people. It happens, but, you know, being able to, or, you know, having the responsibility to control something physical in another location across the world is kind of empowering, regardless of, you know, I can think about students who, I mean, for example, me, I came to the US to, you know, go around campuses to see which campus I like the best, and then made a decision, right? Because international students pay a lot of money and things like that. And now if some universities have telepresence robots, they could do campus tours for international students instead of them having to apply for a visa, come here, spend a lot of money. So there's a lot of, you know, opportunity to kind of explore. At this point, it's just, you know, with all the things going on for universities, it's difficult to kind of, you know, push them to actually start, you know, implementing a few of these ideas. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Well, we mentioned a few obstacles. So is there, are there any plans that your future telepresence robots will be changed? You talked about sensors already. Is there anything else where you would say that has to be changed in our robots?
As far as education use cases go, again, as I mentioned, I think there's still some merit to teleoperated robots because, again, you know, it does give some level of control. Autonomy, of course, is something that, you know, we've been working on. I mentioned better network connectivity. I think in a noise cancellation is also something that we are improving. So audio, you know, being able to like hear well on both sides. So we've solved that problem. So I would say the future, according to me, is probably a lot of like integration between the different systems that you are using.
Do you think in the view of your clients, do they see any risks?
One of the universities that we partnered with, what they're doing currently is basically they're going to review students that received instruction through a substitute teacher and track how they do in their grades once they're reintegrated back into the classroom.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to have a sample of students that received instruction through telepresence, which means that they never really left the classroom. They had the same teachers, the same courses, the same peers, and they're going to track their grades to see. So I would say as far as risks go, you know, like we have identified that telepresence robots improves student engagement. It actually helps students reintegrate into the classroom if there is a gap or for whatever reason they're not able to attend classroom. But you know, we need more, like we need data, we need people you know, trying to go out there and do that research and let us know that yes, this is actually, we through, you know, through the like basically have data on, you know, whether we are really improving. So I would say, and again, I think, you know, people in academia, of course, always want like the proof, right? Like, so while I would say a lot of like anecdotal information already exists, I think what we're excited about at least with like, you know, with collaboration with universities and like, you know, educational like projects like yourself, is being able to like prove that telepresence robots actually work.
Yes, yes. And gave your did your clients give you some feedback about policies or governmental regulation that affect the use of their telepresence robots?
Yeah, so I would say as far as homebound education and remote learning goes, there is a lot of like funding and support. So from a regulation perspective, we are seeing that that is becoming easier. Obviously remote, like everybody around the world, I mean, mm-hmm. in the US here, we have, there is support at a state and federal level mm-hmm. to purchase telepresence robots.
Did you hear about the educational institutes having like, rules or restrictions to not use or use telepresence robots? Did you hear about that?
Not really. I mean, you know, usually schools are always worried about, you know, privacy and, you know, yes. how we protect the data.
That's
and, you know, just being, you know, a telepresence company, we are HIPAA compliant, which is, you know, very highly regulated compliance status. You know, it requires us not to record any videos or to store any, you know, call transcripts and things like that. So we are end-to-end encrypted, like, you know, WhatsApp or any other video conferencing. Mm-hmm. But privacy is a huge issue. They're also worried about, obviously, in a school, you know, it's easier to bump into the robot or, you know, maybe, you know, damage it by putting it down the stairs and things like that. And in that sense, OmniLabs, you know, our telepresence robot is very easy to maintain, right? Uh-huh. Even if there are damages, we fix it much quicker than other robots, and you know, doesn't require an elaborate procedure. Wi-Fi is always a concern, but it's not the robot's fault. It's more often on the education institute to, you know, improve their Wi-Fi system so that there is no, you know, Wi-Fi blind spots and things like that. Uh-huh. But privacy, I'd say, is the top. And we have that covered.
We are GDPR compliant. Mm-hmm. We are FERPA compliant, which is the Department of Education requirement to actually implement any technology at universities. Mm-hmm. 8 hours of, you know, that's the biggest question because, you know, our battery life is about 6 hours.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will be like, hey, you know, like I have 8 hours of classes. How do I make that happen? So yeah, I definitely recommend that. Yeah. Did you hear internal rules in class, for instance? I think Polina is asking a question. Children are allowed to make screenshots, captures, some for video.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very good question. So we actually developed a lot, kind of going back to one of your first questions, we developed a lot of features specifically for FERPA and HIPAA compliance, which is the ability to disable taking a screenshot, capturing any sort of a video. Uh-huh. In some cases, we even can, you know, if you want somebody to dial in and you don't want them to move the robot, we can actually allow you, we have a feature where you can, you know, not enable their ability to move the robot. So there is a lot that can be, as far as the experience goes, as far as your campus goes, privacy rules within a university, because a lot of teachers don't feel comfortable with somebody, you know, like constantly watching them. It feels like, yeah. like a security to them. So yeah, there are a lot of like those kind mm-hmm. of small features that are in place to address those concerns.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, there is something that would fit telepresence robot best.
Since within the context of education, especially higher education universities, is for you know, giving few students who are not able to make it to campus access, right? So it doesn't make sense to use a telepresence robot when the whole campus is shut down and everybody is doing, you know, remote classes, because then Zoom is pretty effective. Uh-huh. However, uh-huh. when campus starts reopening and, you know, given the current, you know, current situation and how much we know about coronavirus, we know for sure that, you know, at least for the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be there. right? It's just going to keep improving, and people will still keep getting vaccines and things like that. And accepting that reality, there is, this whole situation where 1, 2, 3, or even 10 students might be affected with COVID and, might have to quarantine themselves for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or, 5 days, however that works out. And in those days, to give them access to their friends, to their classrooms, not having to create a separate curriculum altogether for them. And, in a university situation, classes where you need physical presence, right? Say an experimental class, a group activity, or, a discussion, and you need to be present and you don't have access because of, family reasons or health reasons or whatever, having some telepresence robots as standby in a university will always help, right? A professor could use it, a student could use it. You could use it for prospective students who want to come on campus and see campus, right? So what I'm looking forward to is, instead of separate departments coming to me and buying telepresence robots, I want the university itself to invest in this technology and use it across departments, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, of course, yes. Do you have some kind of telepresence robot introduction system that you provide to your customers?
This program called a pilot program, where basically, any institute that wants to buy our telepresence robots can decide, how many robots they want to buy and, what they want to test out. And then we give them a 3-month window where we will, work with them virtually. And, work with, just setting up the right IT frameworks and workflow and things like that to help them discover and utilize our robots to the fullest in their use case, right? So sometimes, it works very well because we have been able to help them with, a few issues that they had, and then it works properly. And sometimes just, telepresence robots was not the right technology. But as an introductory, what we do is we provide that dedicated support so that every organization or every client has that opportunity to test and validate. And during this process, we identify your goals, we identify what you want to test and how you want to use the robot, and design a program for you so that you can test out all of those things. It actually costs slightly more. But it comes with the telepresence robot and the 3-month support, right? It's not like an offer. We do have 4% off for education institutes and things like that, but we don't give it out for free or for a loan and things like that.
When we're talking about money, what do you think is the amount educational institutions can invest into the telepresence robot, and everything that involves that?
I think those conversations take place a little later. Typically in the beginning, it's more like identifying what's their need and if a telepresence robot is actually a good fit for them. Once that has been identified, then we kind of move into the pricing conversation. And a lot depends on, the university. Like in some cases, universities have funding to buy 30 robots, right? Mm-hmm. And then the conversation becomes the opposite, where it's like, we have this funding and we want to identify what are the different use cases we can use these robots for. And then the conversation, goes into all the different use cases that we talked about, from homebound instruction to remote learning, to having like an instructor dial into the robot and provide instruction, using it for any sort of like field trips, etc.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, Adelina and Polina, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah.
We hope that you've learned some interesting current use cases and benefits about the telepresence robots in this episode. Thank you.